to choose the 10-minute speaker. So I don't know if you're aware of this, but this gentleman actually won. He is capable of stuffing more marshmallows in his mouth than anybody else on camping trips. Let's hear it for Michael. I only have 10 minutes, huh?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see if we can do it in 8. All right. Okay, so a farmer walks into a bar with a three-legged pig and orders a double shot of whiskey and slams it down, and bartender says, hey, what's the deal with the three-legged pig? Farmer says, you know, this pig right here, this is the best pig you're ever going to see in your life. This pig won Blue Ribbon at 4-H last year, and then it saved my wife, myself, and our two kids out of our burning house. He said, a three-legged pig did all that? He goes, no. He had four legs back then, but you don't need a pig that good all at once. Not really a very good joke, but it was a good analogy for kind of for my life. My job and my career is to come up with creative solutions to problems. And what I've discovered over the last several years before I became sober was oftentimes the solutions that I came up with, even though they were creative and they solved the problem, they often created more problems. And then those created more problems, they created more problems. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So let's see, I was born in Pasadena, California. Two parents, both of their sets of parents were completely against drinking and didn't really drink. One set did not drink at all. My parents didn't really drink very much until I got into high school, and then that's when my dad's alcoholism started really taking hold. I learned to drink really in college. I drank a little bit in high school, got drunk a few times, and thought I would never do that again because it was horrible. But once I learned how to drink in college, it just became a part of my life, and I did it for the next 28 years. And what I noticed was I had become a very self-directed person. I had always worked, if not for myself, I had many things going on, and I had become successful in business because I had a way of getting things done. The challenge was, because I had so much self-will, certain things in my life got better over the years, but other things would continue to get worse, and that, you know, was in terms of family, kids, relationships, all that kind of thing. So I never really figured that it was alcohol that was related to that. As I've spent a few months here in AA, just a short period of time, what I've come to realize that alcohol wasn't my core problem. That was a symptom of something deeper that I had to deal with. And it was really the fact that I didn't have a relationship with God of my understanding, and I felt that I was all alone. Nobody was like me. When I was growing up, the school I went to, all of the kids in my school didn't live in my neighborhood. The neighborhood I lived in, all those kids, they didn't go to my church. And the church that I went to, all those kids went to a different school than me. So I never was an insider with any of those groups, you know. And my family was very religious. I went to church every week. And we did all those things. But I never had that white light experience with God when I, was a preteen or a kid. And that's when I realized, and I remember reading it in the Big Book, that I felt like I was all by myself, that I had to do this on my own. Because I didn't get a relationship with God, and I was coming up with how I was going to live my life, I figured, well, I'm just going to have to do it myself. Success and working hard and building a family and a business and all that kind of thing, that's going to have to do, because, you know, here is all there is. I don't know anything that's going to happen in, you know, in the afterlife or any of that kind of stuff. I didn't realize that until very recently, that, you know, that was a big part of who I became over time. And so what I would do in order to avoid, feelings and fear and all of those things that were mounting in my life is I would drink. You know, I didn't have to worry about being afraid of things if I was under the influence, because I could do all kinds of amazing things. They weren't all good things, though. A lot of them were bad. And I discovered just over the last year or so that, and I didn't know what the problem was before I sobered up, but as parts of my life were getting better and better, I was getting successful in my career, et cetera, other things were going downhill. My family life was going downhill. My relationships were either non-existent, I'd gotten rid of them. I was really by myself, and I thought I didn't want or need anybody, and I thought that I was choosing to drink. I didn't realize that drinks were choosing me. I thought, oh, no, that's been a good day or a bad day. I have to drink, et cetera. And I didn't realize that I needed to drink until a couple of years ago. And then I didn't know how to stop. And I didn't know how to live life. I had no idea how to live life in a healthy fashion. And then I started having these disasters several years ago, once a year, a couple times a year. Just little things. Maybe we had a family gathering and I pissed everybody off because I got too drunk. Maybe it was a kid's birthday, my daughter's birthday, and I showed up so hungover I couldn't even function. You know, maybe it was, going down and visiting my brother and falling through a window at his house. You know, things like that. It just got worse and worse and worse. And finally, my eyes were open. I guess I had my spiritual experience, I guess, the last night of my drinking when I decided to take a few days off and get away from family, get away from everything, go camping over at Kachuma, and I ended up drinking and driving. I ended up crashing my car and running from the cops. And getting away, and I was capable of doing things that night that frightened me, and I had never been scared of myself until that night. I had been scared of other things and drowned in drinking and being tough and all that kind of stuff. And then I realized I'm not the person that I wanted to be my whole life. I thought I was going to be this honest stand-up guy. I was going to do good things for people, all this stuff, and I was not. I wasn't the honest guy that I thought that I should have been. And I wasn't doing things for other people. I was completely focused on myself. And that spiral just got worse and worse and worse until I was completely alone. I just had built this wall, just me. It was my own prison. I didn't go to prison. I haven't been to jail or anything like that. But I realized that I was in my own prison in my mind. And coming into AA, I saw people that were happy. They were laughing. They seemed to have found something, some kind of an answer. And I didn't know what it was at the time. I was, still a bit of in a fog. But what I saw was they seemed to have some way to handle life without drinking and without doing all the unhealthy things that I had been doing before. So I started paying attention, started listening to what people had to say. And then I looked at the steps. I heard the suggestion, get a sponsor, and I thought, okay, this. The hardest thing I've ever done is ask another man for help. I didn't trust men, women, anybody. I didn't trust anybody. So to ask somebody else that I didn't know for help was extremely difficult, and it was the best decision I ever made. This person decided to help me, and they walked me through the steps. And those steps really were a blueprint for living, and that's what attracted me to the book in the first place, and then that's what's attracted me to the rooms of AA and also to the people in here, because they had concrete nuts and bolts ways of doing things. How do I do this? Because you can say, oh, become a better person. How do you do that? Be of service. How do you do that? Oh, well, it's simple. Wash cups, pick up garbage, greet people. Those are concrete things. I'm a nuts and bolts guy, and if you give me a blueprint for how to do something, and it has the details. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. Man, that's just right up my alley. And that worked for me. And I was it was suggested to me to do this as honestly and thoroughly as I possibly could for the first year. And if it didn't work out and my life wasn't different and better, then they would refund all my misery and all the money I paid into AA, which was basically nothing. So I've been doing that. I haven't reached my year yet. But I can tell you the results have been tremendous. It has been amazing. First of all, I can look myself in the mirror, and I can like what I see. I can actually have real relationships with other people, friendships. I didn't have any friends. I had people that thought they were my friends. We may have called each other friends, but, I recall having a conversation with somebody at work where I even told that person, They thought we were friends. I said, we're not friends. We work together. I would never be your friend outside of work. I'm just putting this on so that everybody likes me and I can be successful. But if I see you out in the street, no, I'm not gonna like you. So looking back on that, I was really disappointed in myself for saying that. But I didn't even realize it until I sobered up and I looked at that with new eyes and I thought, man, what an asshole. So, how much more time do I have?
That's it.
Amen.
Awesome. Okay. So,
go as long as you want.
Okay, great. No, closing, I would just suggest listen to what people have to say in the meetings, read the big book, get a sponsor, and start doing the steps under the direction of that sponsor. And if you do it honestly and thoroughly, I guarantee your life is going to be different. It may not be 100% better because my life's not perfect, but I can tell you I wouldn't trade it for what I had before for anything. So thank you.
Great.
Fantastic. All right, moving right along. So we're going to have Bill come on up and read the 12 traditions. So come on up.